In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance family conversation this beautiful Sunday in the month of July. Let us start off our conversation, as always, by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary has many titles, among which would be Mary's the Mother of God, Mary's the Mother of the Church, Mary's the Mother of each and every one of us. Also, we turn to Mary and say, cry out to her as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. Let's ask Mary to pray with us and to pray for us as we start off a new week. So let's pray. Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now let's invite our spiritual director to be with us. Our spiritual director, my friends, is the Holy Spirit himself. Holy Spirit, like Mary, has many titles. The Holy Spirit is the Paraclete. Holy Spirit is also known as the Gift of Gifts. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sweet Guest of Our Souls. Holy Spirit is also known as our Sanctifier, He who makes us holy. Holy Spirit is also known as our interior master. Our interior master in the sense that St. Paul says we don't know how to pray as we ought. However, the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. So that we can say, Abba. Abba. Father or Daddy. So let's invite the Holy Spirit to be with us to give us a lot of peace, a lot of joy, and a lot of strength. As we pray, come Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful, and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, now and ever shall be. World without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael the Archangel, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Excuse me. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. St. Maria Faustina, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. So my friends, the family that prays together stays together. How true. So, as always, I'll be praying for all of you in a special way in the Mass they celebrate today. Mass they celebrate today, I'll be praying in a special way for all of you. Because the Mass is by far the greatest of all prayers. The Mass is by far the greatest of all prayers. So I'll place all of you on the altar. And my first intention will be that all of us, as we start off a new week, we will try to be open to the Holy Spirit. My friends, holiness depends upon union with God, and it depends on our being docile to the Holy Spirit. You might say this prayer during the course of the day. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My second intention, I'd like to pray in a special way for your family and for your children. That your family, your children, your teenagers, your young adults, maybe some of you have grandchildren, that they would all come to keen awareness of how they can truly be happy. Happiness, you might say, it's an inside job. It's not so much finding happiness in things outside of you, but God within. Only God can give us true happiness. I repeat, only God can give us true happiness. He's the ultimate source of our joy in this life as well as in the life to come. Lastly, I'd like to pray once again for the pro-life movement striving to defend, striving to defend life from the very moment of conception until natural death. Life is sacred. Life begins at the moment of conception until natural death. So I'd like to pray that we would be people of life. Once again, in thanksgiving for the Roe vs. Wade court decision being overturned just 9 days ago, it's just the beginning of, once again, our striving to defend life. And I think it all begins with this. Life begins at the very moment of conception. That's the starting point. And all flows from that. So let's, that'll be one of my intentions when they celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, that all of us would be indeed people of life. Life, my friends, is precious. Life, my friends, is a gift that comes from God Himself. Life. So, my friends, Sunday. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Sunday is the Lord's day, and Sunday is family day. John Paul II wrote a document in the early 90s in Latin, Dia Domini, the day of the Lord, in which John Paul II says that the Mass should be the very center of our Sunday. So place the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass at the very center of your life, the center of your Sunday. Then he says the importance of Sunday being family day. Trying to unite families. So I'd like to ask of all of you this wonderful Sunday, the first Sunday in July, I'd like to ask for your prayers because I think I mentioned it earlier that given that the family is going through a really tough time, and myself as a priest for quite a few years now, being aware of that, and Sunday not having confirmation and having a little bit more free time, I felt inspired to offer a retreat. It's a mini retreat. And one of the graces or the charisms of the Oblates is to give retreats. Ignatian retreats. This is going to be just a flash, a very quick retreat. Well, I'd like to explain to you what I'll be doing today and ask for your prayers. Then we'll dive into the riches of the Word of God. This Sunday we've got Isaiah 66, we've got Psalm 66, we've got Galatians. Paul says he's got the marks of Jesus on his body. Then we have Luke in which Jesus sends out the disciples two by two to preach the Word of God. But before going into the riches of the Word of God, indeed the Word of God is very rich. I'd like to explain the mini retreat. I'll be doing it in Spanish and then I plan, God willing, to be able to do it in English. Start off in Spanish, and then, God willing, I'd like to do this also in English. In Spanish, we'll be giving it July 3rd today, the 10th and the 17th. Then I'll be going off and giving an 8-day retreat in El Hambra. Once again, after the pandemic, we're going to be doing the 8-day retreat once again in El Hambra. Pray for that intention. So, this will be the dynamic of our retreat. So we'll start today at 12, and I'll be giving a talk to the couples. My talk, I like to, as a teacher, like to create what are called acronyms. It'll be the 10 M's of marriage. Another day I'll be able to present that to you. 10 different activities that begin with the letter M. Easy to remember. Then after that we'll break into groups for about 25 minutes and a couple will be able to talk about the topic. Then we'll have about a half an hour of adoration of the Blessed Sacrament and we'll pray the Rosary. And then we'll celebrate the holy sacrifice of the Mass for the families. All this will be in the old church in the parish of St. Peter Chanel. Now, this is the first time I've ever done this. What I did was, I planned a retreat for the couples. So every day this week, I will give them, at the end of the retreat today, handout. Handout will be about 20 pages, in which every day they'll be reading and meditating upon a passage from the Bible and a commentary, which the couples will do, I hope. Then the couples, the husband and wife, will be able to share what was the essential message that God gave to each and every one of them. Hoping that they'll just write down just a few words what God seemed to say to them. So that, my friends, is the dynamic of our mini-retreat today. Then at 2 o'clock, I'll celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and place them, as well as place you, on the altar. My friends in Jesus, Mary, and St. Joseph, let's do all we possibly can to defend the family. Given that the family is under so much attack today, myself as a priest, I'd like to do all I possibly can to defend the family. Family, in the words of Vatican II, is known as the domestic church. Family is the domestic church. Family is the basic cell of society. The way the family goes is the way the society goes. So in these very difficult, troubling times, let's do all we possibly can to defend the family. Do all we possibly can in defense of the family. And it's true, the family that prays together stays together. That will be one of my focal points, is getting the family to pray more together. Spend more time in prayer together. So I ask for your prayers. What I'd like to do today is I'd like to start off with the gospel today because it's so rich. And go through the gospel and let's beg for the grace to be able to really understand the Word of God. As mentioned before, I like to offer to all of you a biblical method. A biblical method of 5 points. So when you're reading the Word of God, lectio to read attentively. You might even say, speak, O Lord, for your servant is listening. Then try to memorize the basic overall content of the Word of God. So I try to memorize the overall content of the Word of God. Then, general understanding. What is God saying to you? What is the the central message of this biblical passage. Then, personal message, how is God speaking to you? How is God speaking to you? And finally, personal application. How can you apply the Word of God? How can you apply it to your own life? So today we're going through the Gospel of Luke, just that you're aware that the church cycle on Sunday, there are three different cycles, cycle A, B, and C. A is usually Matthew, B is Mark, and C is Luke. So we're in cycle C this whole year. We're in the very middle of the Gospel of St. Luke, Luke chapter 10. There are actually 24 chapters in the Gospel of St. Luke. So I'll just give you the central message, and then let's try to go through it and allow God to speak to us through the Word of God. So Jesus has chosen 12 apostles to be with him as his intimate friends. But also he's chosen 72 disciples. So 12 apostles are his most close and intimate friends. Then we have his 72 disciples, who he wants also to form and to send out to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out devils. So the gospel today says, at that time, the Lord appointed 72 others. So here we have Jesus choosing the 12, and now he's appointing 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. Let's make a brief comment on that. Why did he send them off in pairs? Jesus said, where two or more are gathered in my name, I am in their midst. Well, you've got two. You've got a little community. They can pray together. They can share. But I'd like to explain why two is good for apostolic purposes. Before being transferred to California, I was in South America for 7 years. 3 years in Buenos Aires, 2 years in Cordoba, another 2 years in Chile. And basically what I was doing was just giving a lot of retreats. Remember 1 year when I was in Cordoba, 9 months, I gave 21 retreats. In just 9 months, I remember, counted them. Some were just a 1 day, others would be an 8 day retreat. But I gave a lot of retreats. A lot of retreats. I was into my fourth or fifth year as a priest, a relatively young priest, but That was our charism. And we lined up a lot of retreats in Argentina and Chile. One of the places where we went was a place called Salta, which is the northern part of Argentina. And Father Dave Keeter was our superior. And he would line up retreats, but he'd send us in two. No tell the usefulness of going in two. Because when we gave retreats, Ignatian retreats, they were almost always preached retreats. And often they'd be like weekend retreats. And sending us off in two would have this advantage. Because Father Dave would be giving a retreat talk to a group of people. And I would be available at the same time in the confessional. He'd be preaching, I'd be there in the confessional. So the dynamic really worked. And of course, one of the essential objectives of a retreat is, of course, conversion. Conversion, and conversion comes about through, especially through the sacrament of confession. So in two, in the unity of two, there is more strength. Then we could pray together and even have a meal together so we were not alone. So sending them off in two is what we have in the gospel today. There's a real usefulness, apostolic efficaciousness if you've got two. And even if you've got a really big mission to go off in three might even be better if there's enough priests. So he sent them off in two. And they were sent to prepare the way for the Lord. Earlier this week, I was listening to Bishop Robert Barron's talk on this, and he mentioned the very famous Protestant missionary preacher, Billy Graham. He said he would send people a year beforehand to prepare the terrain where he's going to be preaching. And I'd like to tell you another thing that's always helped in my preaching missions. And it's this. One of the women I've worked with for many years, who's organized many retreats in the parish, Alicia Polanka, she would send a note to the Carmelite nuns in the United States, almost all the convents, and ask them to pray for my intentions. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. To have missionary efficaciousness, my friends, the ground has to be watered by prayer. One of my seminary friends said, hey, if you want to have a successful mission, get three categories of people to pray for you before you go off on mission. What would you think? What do you think would be the three categories of people you'd get to prepare for a successful apostolic mission? What do you think? Well, he said, first get the contemplative nuns. Because the charism of the contemplative nuns is to pray for the church, pray for the conversion of sinners, but also to pray for priests and their mission. Most specifically, the Carmelites have at heart to pray for the success of the missions of the priests. The mission of the priests. The second group, he mentioned, is get little children to offer their prayers. Jesus said, let the little children come to me. Why the little children, my friends? Because of their innocence. Their innocence. They haven't been tainted by sin the way we have been. But even in that area, the world is going after children to take away their innocence, even at a very young age. Even at a very young age. Now the third group of people to pray for the success of the mission would be those who are suffering. Often the elderly that are suffering, to offer up their suffering and their sickness for the success of the missionary activity. So contemplative nuns, children, and the elderly and the suffering. Not bad. So Jesus sent them off in two to prepare for his coming. To go to the places that he intended to visit, to prepare the terrain for the visit of Christ. John the Baptist is a model for that because he prepared the way for Christ. We should try always to prepare the way for Christ also. That Christ will enter into our world, into our country, into our church, into our society, into our families. It's starting with our own hearts. That's right, starting with our own hearts. Now, Jesus, before he sends them off, he's going to give them what's called the marching orders. Using some military language. Their marching orders, their instructions, what they're supposed to do when they're being sent out on mission. He says this, the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. How true. The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. That can be interpreted in several ways. When Jesus is speaking about harvest in this context, he's speaking about the harvest of souls, harvest of immortal souls. Harvest is abundant. The laborers are just too few. One interpretation would be, my friends, that there's a real shortage today in many places. There's a real shortage today in many places of vocations to the priesthood. In Los Angeles, which is the biggest diocese in the country, Ever since I've arrived, they've been ordaining about 6 priests every year and losing twice as many. Not in all places are vocations lacking. We have with us the next 2 months a Nigerian priest that's working now in Boston teaching in the seminary. Father Victor actually comes from Nigeria. He says that every year we have 1,000 applications to our seminary, and we can only accept about 8. For the simple reason that we don't have space and we don't have economic resources to be able to prepare more than that number. Not to say of those 1,000 applications, all of them would be candidates for the priesthood. Not to say. But obviously it'd be more than 8 if we had the infrastructure. I think that's very interesting that Europe, there is a real drought for vocations. Also, per person, the Philippines is the place that has least a number of priests for people in the country, in the world rather. The United States, there are vocations, but not enough. So the harvest is rich and the laborers are too few. The harvest is rich, but the laborers are too few. This is a harvest in the field of souls. So Jesus, after he says the harvest is rich, laborers are few, and then Jesus says, so ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. So what our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is saying is there are too few, so it's incumbent upon us to beg the Eternal Father, to beg the Lord Himself to send out more laborers in the vineyard of the Lord. Thanks be to God, in August, two of our young men will make their first vows, as well as in August, Deacon Leland, as well as Deacon Nathan, will be ordained to the priesthood. We're going to have, in the month of August, 2 newly ordained oblate priests. So pray for our young men that are on the way to making their perpetual vows, as well as those who will be ordained to the priesthood, that God would bless them. Pray for more priests, but also pray for the holiness of priests. Pray for more quantity, but especially quality in the priesthood. Quantity, but also quality in the priesthood. At the end of the life of the Curé of Ars, one of the most holy priests that ever lived, the devil appeared and said, if there were another 5 of him, his kingdom would be destroyed. So you see the real power, the real efficaciousness of a holy priest. Of a holy priest. The power, the efficaciousness of a holy priest who's a man of prayer, a man of holiness, a man of sacrifice, a man that loves God and loves souls. Then Jesus says to his disciples that he's sending out, he says, go on your way. Behold, I'm sending you like lambs. I'm sending you like lambs among wolves. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. Jesus is very clear. If those are sent out, there will be dangers. What are these wolves? What are these wolves? Well, there are many. But I'd like to mention three wolves that are out there. On the prey. First, in the United States, one of the wolves and is basically an ideology, or a might even call it a philosophical system that's inimical to the preaching of the Word of God and the accepting of the Word of God. And is that a materialism? Is that a materialism? Jesus said very clearly that we cannot serve God and money at the same time. You cannot serve God and money at the same time. For that reason, in the 1200s, St. Dominic formed a new order and St. Francis formed a new order. These were itinerant mendicant orders. By itinerant mendicant orders means itinerant, they were on the move like the disciples today. Mendicant means that they would have to be begging. They'd have to be begging people for their daily sustenance. In a certain sense, there's witness of poverty or detachment from material things as a whole impresses people. The Mother Teresa would be the modern version of this, in which she basically gave up everything, just had a sari and a little home to stay, getting rid of the furniture, living a life of great poverty and detachment. You can't serve God and money at the same time. So the second wolf I'm going to mention is the real danger of a pornographic society in which we live. Jesus goes on to say, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Then, another wolf that's out there today is the wolf of Religious indifference. That's right. Religious indifference means a certain nonchalant, flippant, tepid, mediocre attitude of who cares? Jesus said, I have come to cast fire on the earth. I've come to cast fire on the earth, and I'm not at peace until that fire be kindled. I repeat, Jesus said, I've come to cast fire on the earth, and I'm not at peace until that fire be kindled. Those would be three of the modern wolves that I would say are inimical, at odds with the preaching and the planting and the of the Word of God taking root in the hearts of people as well as individuals. I repeat, that would be materialism. You can't serve God and money at the same time. Hedonism, which is reflected by a certain pornographic society in which the negative image is taking control of our minds and our thoughts and even our hearts and our families. And then that of religious indifference. And the Word of God is very, very severe with those who are religiously indifferent. Read Revelation chapter 3. The Word of God says you're neither hot nor cold, but lukewarm. And I will spit you out of my mouth. You know, it's interesting, my friends, in the world, athletes, politicians, millionaires, these groups of people are very enthusiastic. They're very enthusiastic about winning. I like to follow a little bit of baseball. I really like the sport. And how professional baseball players are very intent upon winning their game, winning their division, winning their pennant, and winning the World Series. Very intent upon that. Millionaires are very intent upon making money, knowing when to invest, who to deal with, maybe when to enter into the stock market, when to pull out. Then we see what politicians will do so that they can win. Shouldn't we, as Catholics, shouldn't we be professional Catholics, have a greater desire? Jesus says, the harvest is rich, the labors are few. Shouldn't we have a greater desire to save souls? As Saint Ignatius said to Francis Xavier, go out and set all on fire. Go out and set all on fire. That's right. And Jesus gives them even more instructions. He says, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Then he says, carry no money. Carry no money bag. No sack. No sandals. So why is he saying that? Jesus is basically saying, you're going to be my follower, you're going to be my disciple, you're going to prepare the way for me. You cannot be attached. You cannot be loaded down with things. If you're loaded down with things, then you cannot move freely. You're loaded down by things, you cannot move freely. You cannot. You cannot move freely. St. Ignatius calls this holy indifference. Holy indifference is the true freedom of the sons and daughters of God. Ignatius in Holy Indifference, which is the last part of Principle and Foundation, says we shouldn't prefer long life to short life. We shouldn't prefer health to sickness. We shouldn't prefer riches to poverty. We shouldn't prefer honors even to humiliations. But we should choose what is most conducive to praising God and saving souls. Then Jesus also says, greet no one along the way. Now what Jesus is saying when he says greet no one along the way, he's saying, be focused on your mission. You remember in the book of Genesis, with Sodom and Gomorrah, God says, don't turn around. And Lot's wife turned around and she turned into a pillar of salt. Jesus, calling disciples, says, whoever places his hand to the plow and turns around is not worthy of me. Now, what Jesus is saying is not to be antisocial. Quite the contrary. What Jesus is saying is to be focused on your mission. That's right. Jesus is saying to be focused on your mission. And not to be distracted. It's interesting, this topic of being focused on your mission and preaching and evangelizing as Jesus sends out the 72. Heard a story of a conversation between two pastors and one of the pastors, my friends, came from Africa. The other was an American pastor living in the United States. The American pastor asked the African pastor what he thought was the major obstacle to preaching the Word of God and people receiving the Word of God in the United States. The African pastor said, right off the cuff, he said, too many distractions in the United States. Too many distractions in the United States. That's my interpretation of Jesus saying, greet no one along the way. Because if we're greeting someone along the way and we have a certain destination and mission to accomplish, we're never going to arrive. Some of you probably, if you're my age, remember the Aesop's fables. We'll lay this topic. Aesop's fables. He had the story of the rabbit and the turtle. The rabbit or the turtle and tortoise had a race. And obviously you think, wow, if it's going to be a rabbit, it's very fast and a turtle is very slow. Obviously, the rabbit's going to win the race. That's not the case. The turtle won the race because the turtle was focusing on arriving at his destination. Whereas the rabbit was running all over the place. Running back and forth, zigzagging, north and south, east and west, not focusing upon his destiny, the finish line. So my friends, our time is going by so quickly today, but the essential message I think God wants to lay in our hearts as Jesus sends out the 72 disciples to prepare the way for him, we're called to be a disciple of Christ. We're called also to bring the good news of the gospel to the whole world. So let's pray for the grace that we would be able to bring the good news to the whole world, because the harvest is rich, but the labors are few. Please pray for my marriage retreat, which will be starting at 12 noon today. Thank you. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.